welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Mike, I'm good.
We haven't talked a great deal about COVID, particularly research and things, but you've chosen a poem this week that was published in the New England Journal and talks a bit about boosters. But by way of background and editorialization on my part, we're at a point in time in November where about 70% of adults in the wealthiest countries of the world have received at least their first dose. And that compares with 3% of the population in lower income countries who've received their first dose. By the way, in the United States, 59% of all ages, 70% of those 12 and up. And we've done a remarkable job, I think, with those over 65, 86% of them have received at least two doses. So as we look at this booster thing, first we need to look at the vaccine picture at a much bigger arena. First, there's lots of vaccines sitting in cold storage rooms, not being used, needs to be redistributed. There needs to be a way for the United States to get some of these doses out. We calculate in a few short weeks, the United States government might have about a half a billion excess doses of COVID vaccine in the U.S., and that includes if everyone who's supposed to get their booster gets them. Secondly, we need to make sure that the places and the regions that have been left behind, particularly Africa, the Middle East, and some places in Asia, are given the tools and the access and the facilities to get these vaccines out. We've got places like South Africa that have been asking for technology to be able to make the vaccines themselves and have been kept from getting that technology. And then thirdly, we needed to deal with this issue of intellectual property. And you know what happens with a company like Moderna that is on record of making $2 billion just in 2021, yet the United States taxpayers foot most of the bill for the discovery of their mRNA vaccine. So right now, we've got this sort of global crisis. It's both a public health crisis and perhaps a moral and ethical crisis. We need to figure out how we're going to get the vaccine. Remember, the moral part of this is that, you know, everybody should have access to something like this. But the public health part is that the more people are unimmunized, the more chance there is for mutation and the more chance that we'll end up with a mutation that won't be susceptible to the vaccine. So it really is important to get this out, which brings us to boosters here in the United States. As I said, you've chosen a poem. It was published in the New England Journal just recently. It starts on page 1393, and it attempts to answer the question, to what extent does a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine protect against symptomatic illness and hospitalization in older people? And they define older as people older than age 60. Mark, what do we know about this vaccine now?
Well, having turned 62 weeks ago, I resemble that remark, as Groucho Marx would have said. So at the end of March, Israel had vaccinated about half its population. And in July, they had concerns over waning immunity. So, this was primarily the Pfizer vaccine. They began to roll out boosters. So this study looked at the period from the end of July to the end of August and used data from their government health registry that had information about vaccination status, age, demographics, hospitalizations, and COVID-19 infections and deaths. They identified about 1.1 million persons, 60 and older, who had not been previously infected with COVID-19 and who were in Israel in August. They then compared the rates of any COVID infection as well as severe infection in those who'd gotten the booster and those who hadn't. They adjusted for age, sex, demographics, and the date of the patient's second dose. What they found was that the risk of any symptomatic infection was a lot higher, about 11 times higher in the unboosted group. And so was the risk of severe infection, which was about 20 times higher. There was no added protection in the first week after the booster, which makes sense. And it rose to substantial levels of protection about 2 weeks after the booster was given. One limitation is that risk behavior and care-seeking behavior may have differed between those who chose to get a booster and those who chose not to. usually you try to adjust for that with something called a test negative control strategy, where you only include, you compare people who sought testing with each other, and then look at those who sought testing who had been boosted and who hadn't. They couldn't do that with this data set. So that is a limitation, and it might have overestimated the protection. The duration of follow-up obviously was about a month or less, so we really don't know how durable this protection, if there is added protection, how durable it is. So bottom line, a third booster dose of the Pfizer vaccine does provide, appear to provide a significant protection for those 60 and older, both against mild and severe infection. In theory, the protection against mild infection could help reduce community spread, and it could also reduce the incidence of long COVID in a subset of infected patients, although that does seem to be somewhat less likely if you've been vaccinated. So I hear you about your concerns, and I wonder how much of the issue with getting the vaccine to the rest of the world has to do with the cold chain and the fact that it needs ultra low temperatures, and that's not possible in, you know, in some settings. I know you've done a lot of international work, and I wonder what your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, that is, there are some of these vaccines, the J&J and the AstraZeneca, that don't need sub cold temperatures. But I think it has more to do with proprietary interests. You know, there are places in Africa, particularly in South Africa and in Rwanda, and perhaps in places like India, where, you know, they could make these vaccines locally and distribute them and overcome some of those barriers. Just to remind listeners that while you're talking about mild infections, this study doesn't address infectivity. And we don't know if somebody doesn't have any symptoms, how infectious are they and can they spread the disease? So there are still lots of questions. We all know about this. And as you said, the biggest question is the declining immunity and how long it's going to last. I mean, if after 12 weeks or 16 weeks or what looks like 20 weeks, we're down to half the immunity we had initially, you know, and we get a booster, then do we need to do this every 20 weeks? And how long does that last? So lots of questions, for a full employment picture for anybody who's an epidemiologist or an immunization biologist.
Good point. Thanks, Mike.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.